Or if you would turn your Bible to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Begin at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before on the Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. Verse 47, when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of those, for their heart was hardened. Now here we read the story of Jesus Christ, and I don't know about you, seeing somebody walk on the water would kind of freak me out, you know? And this is something that Jesus Christ can do because he's a miracle worker, he's the God of miracles, and an amazing miracle takes place. But in verse 52, you notice this is what really bugs me, is the end of verse 52. For their heart was hardened. The disciples hardened their heart. And they forgot the miracles that Jesus Christ did. He fed the 4,000 men, not including the women and children. He fed the 5,000, not including the women and children, up to this point. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the sick, the lame, the deaf, the blind. But we read that through all that Jesus Christ had done, the disciples up at this point have hardened their heart. You know, hardening your heart this morning can get you into trouble. But I was in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall in the mischief. One preacher said one time, we cannot avoid getting old, but we can avoid getting cold. And he says about a cold heart that you know when you have a cold heart when adoration is replaced by agitation. That worship is replaced by waywardness. That dedication is replaced by delinquency. When commitment is replaced with a concern for comfort and steadfastness is replaced with slothfulness. See, your heart this morning may look fine to others because you're dressed in your Sunday best and you got your Ken and Barbie smile and you look like, you know, you're in love with God and everything's fine. You got a King James Bible and you're singing here and all that. But only the Lord really knows what's going on inside of that heart of yours. A little girl one time, she picked up a potato and she said, look, Mommy, this potato is so big and nice, isn't it? And then her mother peeled it and cut it in half. And how surprised the little girl was when she saw it all black and hollow in the middle. Let me ask you a question. Can you harden your heart? Has your heart grown cold towards the Lord? I already know what you're thinking. I read every day. I pray every day. I pass out tracts. I go to church. I know you got it down to a fine art. But you know your heart can still be hard. Even I, as a preacher, sometimes the Lord will go, hey, slow down. Wait a minute. Did you know your heart's hard? I don't know about you, but the Lord deals with me about that. Amen. I haven't arrived or attained and perfected and part of the Trinity. Amen. But maybe this morning you feel that you don't have a hard heart. One preacher said one time, people with stone hearts think that they are okay because of their past victories, because of how spiritual they used to be or how faithful they once were. But they are forgetful of what their true heart condition is now. I got to get on my kids. Hey, watch your attitude, right? Ever get on your kids about that? Watch your attitude, right? Doesn't that matter? Attitude determines your altitude, right? So some of you got a bad attitude, and some of you have a hard heart. Say, preacher, we've heard preaching, and we've had revival meetings. That don't mean a thing. You can sit through a revival meeting and still leave the same. And you know what you'll do with a hard heart? You'll go, I didn't get anything from that. Listen, if you don't get anything from anybody, listen, you have better preachers here. Brother Kogel, I think, comes up here, and you got Brother Spurgeon. Look, I don't rank myself with those guys. And that's not a false humility. And Dr. Gipp, those guys are way better than I am. But if you can sit through them and be unmoved, something's not right with you. Right? So I'm going to preach to you this morning. It's a real quick message, 30 minutes or less, or your money back. Amen. And I speak real fast. You got to forgive me. It's the East Coast thing. Amen. But number one, I'm going to preach to you tonight. I'm preaching this morning real quickly a message titled A Heart of Stone. A Heart of Stone. I'll give you five symptoms, five things that you're going to know through this message whether your heart is becoming a heart of stone. Let's pray again one more time. God, bless this message. Help me to be a blessing to your people. That's my desire. I'm not here. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not mad at these people, God. I have nothing to show off or prove to them. But I pray that your word would go forth with power, that I have liberty, Lord, and be glorified even as it was with the Thessalonians. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heart of stone, number one, well, you're not as excited about giving as you used to be. Well, you're not as excited about giving as you used to be. And I know what you're thinking. This evangelist is getting up and preaching on giving after what the pastor said, and these guys must be in on it. Well, if you're here this morning, you're evil surmising, amen? Because that ain't the case. I don't like mentioning giving, especially as an evangelist, because of all these guys on TV that are at it for your money. But let's face the fact, I think the economy's messed up, but I still see the malls are packed. I still see the buffets are packed. I still see a bunch of fat Americans running around, all that. We ain't snaking anemic. We ain't malnourished, right? Amen. I include myself among fatties, amen. But let me tell you this. I think people are just using it as an excuse to not give anymore. Because you know how I know that? They still got their cable television. They still got the satellite dish out there. Hey, when we're really struggling, those things will go. When people are getting smartphones, and I didn't say that with sin, but they got money to pay for $150 a month for a smartphone. Hey, we ain't doing that bad in America. But people use that as an excuse. And a natural tendency as we get older is to be stingier. And when you're younger, let's face it, money don't mean a whole lot to you. I remember how I lived before I got saved. I got saved at 20 years old, and I spent money on sinful things. I didn't let money have a hold on me and all that. I spent money freely like there was no tomorrow. And before I got saved, if a friend had a need, I'd give them money. I'd take them out to the movies. I'd go out to eat with them and all that. I had a giving spirit. But as time goes on, you know what happens? We have a natural tendency to be stingy. You know what you got to teach kids to not be? Do you know what it is? Amen, brother. Ever see kids fight over something? Fight over the seat that's closest to the parent, or fight over this, or fight over that, or and then the food's on the floor, and nobody knows how it got there, and all that, amen? No, should I get the pin envelope, amen? Hey, I mean, really, man, I mean, you know what? We got adults that are no different than a five-year-old throwing a temper tantrum and being stingy and greedy. I can't stand stingy people. I've never been stingy before I got saved, and even after I got saved. It's not an issue for me. You say, why? Money doesn't have a hold on me. Because listen, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I'll tell you, money doesn't make the world go around. It's God that makes the world go around. A highly successful businessman was once asked to make a huge donation to an urgent charity appeal. And the businessman listened to the case that was presented to him by these people. He said, I can understand why he approached me. He says, yes, I do have a lot of money. He says, yours is an important cause. But he said, are you aware of all the calls I get to give money? Did you know that my mother needs 24-hour nursing care? No, came the reply. Did you know that I have a sister who's struggling with a family of eight to raise on her own? No, came the reply. Did you know I have a son in a drug rehab clinic and another son doing voluntary work overseas? No, came the reply. He said, well, if I don't give them a cent, what makes you think I'll give you any? How many of you believe the Lord's really coming back? All right, now before you raise your hand, you're going to be a fool. Listen now. How many of you are holding on to your money like the Lord's not coming back? You really believe the Lord's coming back soon? Can't you see the handwriting on the wall? You know, it's funny. I go to some churches, and I was talking with your pastor. They got bunkers, and they got the orange flat vests in the back and all that for when the police come in. Oh, it's horrible. I go to all different kinds of churches. Amen? And it's like, aren't you, you know, they're buying their gold. They're buying their silver. They're buying their ammo. They're buying their MREs, you know, the meal ready-to-eat package. And okay, so what are you going to do? You and your little family is going to hold the fort like the Alamo. You don't have the Alamo? They lost, okay? You can watch John Wayne to figure that out, amen? But was there a time in your life where you were more generous in giving than you are now? Do you remember when you had a giving spirit? Do you remember when money did not control you? Do you remember when you used to not love money? Say, preacher, I don't love money. You're a liar, liar, pants on fire. So how do I know that? If you found a $50 bill on the ground, what would you do? Would you go, oh, it's just a $50 bill. You know what you do? Woo! Praise God! Woo! Right? Better watch. For the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some coveted after, they have earthened the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Who's he talking to? Christians. You know, that's why a lot of Christians now are missing church. The wife's working all day. The husband's working all day. They can't come Wednesday. They can't come Sunday, right? 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road. And look, I'm not saying if your wife's got a job or you got a job and you got to work. So I understand. I'm not saying you're not right with God. But you better be careful that that money doesn't take your relationship away from the Lord. Are you with me tonight? I mean, with me this morning, you understand? Do you remember when $20 was not a lot? Do you remember when the offering plate came around and you were excited about giving? Do you remember how some of you used to tithe? You know what churches are feeling right now? Financial problems. Some people have lost their jobs. Some have not. Why have you stopped giving? Even we as an evangelist, I tithe back to my local church. Why? It's just I believe that if I'm a member and I want the privileges of being a member, that I ought to put some money in so we can have a church. Amen. So how long's this point? Sub-points, 15 more. Amen. A proud heart's not generous. It thinks of itself before others. And some of you spend more money on yourself than you would ever sacrifice for anyone else. Some of you don't have the money to give, but you buy whatever you want. You don't think anything of buying a Blu-ray DVD disc, $27.99. You don't think anything about it. You don't think anything about it all having Comcast in your living room that curses and teaches your kids what a pole dancing is and strip bar is. You say, I can't believe that. You're a hypocrite because you've got it in your house. Your kids are learning evolution even though you're teaching them homeschool because they're watching National Geographic. You didn't pray about getting that cable television, but you're praying about if you should drop a missionary? I mean, what matters more, Ted Turner or souls going to hell overseas? The guy who believes in population control, the guy who's running along with Bill Gates, Bill Gates wants to design a new toilet that wastes less water of $45 million. I mean, come on, buddy. You know how much you can use for $45 million? Are you with me? I didn't say it's wrong to have nice things. What I'm talking about is when you're not as generous as you used to be anymore. When you start to hold back money from the church, you got a proud heart and a hard heart. I don't know what it is. I go to some churches and same urinal's broken for 3 years. Same urinal. Why is that? Well, the church people give them $100 a month support. They worked on their fourth pastor now in the past 10 years. You know what I think about that church? They don't deserve a pastor. I remember getting out of Bible school and I thought, man, how I call up a church, hey, can I come in and present my work? I was a missionary in Africa for years. And they would say, we don't have a pastor. I thought, that dirty hireling. I didn't know any better. And after a while being in the ministry, I realized some churches don't deserve a pastor. So you prayed, right? Did you pray? Did you want God to speak to you? I'm as being plain and blunt as I possibly can be. You know, we live in a generation right now where a movie came and be like an old-fashioned movie from the 1930s where acting was real and good. You got to have today where every second, every 5 seconds, there's blood and guts and explosion. Why? People are passive. They drive down the road. You know what they do? They stop on this side of the road to watch the accident on the other side of the road. Correct? So you come to church and you're preaching to a bunch of King James, Bible-believing, premillennial, independent, Baptist Christians that know dispensation and know the truth, right? And they look at you like this. And all they want is some new thing. So what preachers are doing now is they're going from preaching to teaching. They really are. And they're doing a major, and teaching doesn't require a sacrifice from you. Preaching does. Teaching gets the head big. Preaching deals with the heart. You know what you need? You need preaching. That's what you need. See, I don't like this kind of preaching. That's okay, because I'm not mad at you. I don't have an axe to grind. But I'll tell you right now, I will not compromise the truth. No matter how many meetings I get, how many meetings I don't get. Bottom line is, it's the Word of God. And you got to be giving. You should be giving. You're going to give an account of your stewardship to God one day in Luke 16. And you have wasted your money as an American on lots of garbage, lots of junk that's not helped your family. What you've done is you put it in the attic. You got to bin the rent for $50 a month. To buy more junk, to sell it during your spring sale and all that, your yard sale and all that. Why? Because you're a waster of God's money. He said, I don't like that. Don't worry, you won't like it at the judgment seat of Christ. You have to give an account of what you do with your money. It's not your money. One guy one time, he was going to get baptized. He said, Pastor, wait a minute, I got to pull out my wallet before I get baptized. He goes, no, I baptized you with the wallet and all. That's a good point, amen? Say, what are you getting at? I'm not telling you to go in there and ruin your mind. I'm not saying that. But you get the point, right? You get it, right? When did you think it's your money? It's God that giveth thee power to get wealth in Deuteronomy 8. God, all you got to do is touch a nerve in your back or a nerve in your neck. You'll never work a day in your life. I'm out there working for it. No, God can take your job. God can give you hospital bills that will make you bankrupt in 6 months and make you homeless. It's God. Not God, what can I'll give you what's left over. No, God, what would you have me to give? I'm not being rude. When you start holding back money from missions, look, those guys need money. Look, if you give them to me or not, I'm not trying to be rude. God will provide for me next church. I'm not in it for the money. God knows. If I was, I'd be running with T.D. Jakes. Amen? But I'll tell you, on the back wall, the missionaries, they need a certain amount of income to be able to stay there to get their visa renewed. I visited Brother Sal. I was over there last month preaching a 10-day tent meeting. Thank God we saw two Sicilians get saved. But you support him, and that's fruit to your account if you give. When's the last time you gave generously? Has it been a long time since you sacrificially gave? Have you ever been generous? Number two. Second thing I want to say about Heart of Stone is when you're not as excited about giving, number two, when you're not in enjoyment, when you're not in enjoyment to be around like you used to. Remember a time in your life where you were more gracious towards others? You know some of the most meanest people I've ever met? I'll tell you who they are. You ready? King James Bible believers. Most meanest stinking devils you ever meet. And they'll do it in Jesus' name, you know? They come in and they're biting and devouring and hurting one another. Why you got an axe to grind? Listen, you're weird. You're weird if you got some conviction that nobody else has. You're weird. You know what I mean? Well, I think this. You're weird. Everything, maybe you're wrong and everybody else is right. But they want to come in and they want to preach their little pet peeve and their little doctrine and go around the congregation and cause the pastor nothing but grief. Where's those pins, brother? Amen. And they come in, they're intolerant of others' faults and failures, and they're not slow to point out people's faults, they're quick to point out people's faults. And everybody gets on their nerves. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather live in a cabin in the mountains than be around God's people? Do people not want to be around you? Do you not want to be around people? Do you feel resentment towards others in the church? Do you have a grudge towards someone in this church or out of this church? Have you become bitter towards a brother or sister in Christ? Do you feel that you love the brethren more? Paul writes about that to the Thessalonians, that you see that you increased in love. And then he says in the next book, 2 Thessalonians, that he heard of their love increasing. So they took what he said to heart. You know what I'm preaching to? A bunch of Americans that are hard-hearted. Look, you need to understand something. You need one another. And as this country goes down the tube, and it will go down the tube, listen, your little pet peeves, your little weird things you got and all that, you're going to need one another badly. Amen. Because the world ain't going to care about you, and the government ain't going to help you. Do you find that you lose your temper quicker than you used to? You find yourself being a grouch? Well, I'm just under a lot of pressure. No, you're backslidden. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Right? Isn't that true? I know that's in James, the tribulation. Let's not rightly divide everything out of the book. Amen? The wrath of man has not worked the righteousness of God. It's really hard to be spiritual and flying off the handle. To be easily provoked and quick to anger. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not right. Are you full of grace as your Lord and Savior? Or are you quick to call down fire from heaven? Lord! They're not following us. Forbid them. Lord, they're not. Who cares, man? Let them. If we're independent, let the others be independent. Are you a blessing to be around or a burden? Number three, when you're not letting God's word enter into your heart, when you're not letting God's word enter into your heart like you used to. When's the last time God's word was a delight to you? When? When's the last time you got something out of your Bible without a commentary? When's the last time God's word directed you? You know what I see a lot of people do? I just feel led to marry this person. Really? Did you know they're lost? Well, I know what the word of God. No. You're not going by the word of God. You're going by your feelings. Well, what house should I buy? What car should I buy? Well, did God give you scripture? Look, I believe that we are to really be. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you believe that? It'll guide you if you want it. When's the last time God's word dealt with your heart? When's the last time it convicted you so much that God said, that's you, and you said, God, I got to get right, and knelt down where you were at and said, Lord, forgive me? When's the last time you read the word of God out of enthusiasm and not out of routine? Well, I get my 5 pages in today, 10 pages in today, whatever pages you got and all that. Can you remember what you read? Did some of you even read this morning? I was really busy because you were up late last night watching cable. You make time to eat, right? Right? Not right? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, for I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's what Job said. All right, I'm asking you a serious question. You're a King James Bible believer. How many of you are King James Bible believers? You believe the word of God, right? You believe it's to be the word of God. Do you believe it?
Yes, sir.
All right, you wave the answer back to heaven? Do you know the answer? When's the last time you found an answer? Well, I need to go bother my pastor for about 3 days and ask him stupid questions. Listen, you get in the word of God and read it, and you're here for every service, you'll get the answers you need. I found you a lot of counseling is just a pure waste of time because 99% of the people, they ain't going to listen to what you say. They're going to do what they want to do. They don't care what thus saith the Lord. First thing I asked people in South Africa, I was a pastor, quote unquote, missionary, whatever the case may be. I was there to call me pastor. I started a church. Who else was leading it? They come to me. I just said, well, did you read your Bible? Well, I haven't been. Why are you wasting my time? Because all I'm going to do is give you what?
The word of God.
The Bible. What's your pastor going to give you? His great intellectual wisdom? No, he's going to give you the word of God. Remember when the time reading your Bible flew by? Remember when you looked up, you're like, man, it's an hour already. Can't believe it. Remember when it was not a chore to read your Bible? Do you remember when the Bible was not boring to you? Do you remember when you heard preaching and it dealt with you and you couldn't wait to come to the altar and you couldn't wait? I'm not talking about because of Brother Del Grande, the evangelist, or Pastor Pia. I'm talking about when God's word dealt with your heart, you're like, man, I got to get right with God now. Where God's heart, God's word just pierced your heart and you start crying there in the seat. You said, God, I'm not the husband I ought to be, the father I ought to be, the wife I ought to be, the mother I ought to be. I mean, you remember a time where your heart just melted because you heard preaching? Have you hardened your heart towards the preaching? God's people did, but they refused to hearken and pulled away. Ever see a kid where they pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears? I've been in church services where I preached and people have done this. Grown adults. Grown people. Really? And I'm going, wow. I remember one time being at a church, and I said, every head bowed, all eyes closed. I'm okay with altar calls, whether you do it here, whether you don't. I don't care. Everybody does things different, whatever, you know. I said, every head bowed, all eyes closed. And this lady did this. Like Matilda the Hun, big mama. And I looked at her, she looked at me, and I said, every head bowed, all eyes closed. She's like, I was thinking, maybe the lady's deaf, you know what I mean? And so I said, well, everybody stand, all high, you know, I have, man, she was mad. It's a shame, isn't it? People get mad when you talk about their cable television, but they don't get mad at their sin against God. It's a shame. We live in a generation of Christians that are like Walmart Christians. You know what I mean? They want everything their way and Burger King their way and everything their way. Do you really love the word of God? I'm asking. You know what adamant means? It means very hard or impenetrable. Is your heart is an adamant stone towards the word of God. You know one of the things you can do? You can grow up in a Christian home and have a bad attitude. You can hear preaching, and you can sit there and say, I heard it from my mom, and I heard it from my dad. You know some of the worst people you ever meet on the street corner, the body piercings and tattoos? They were raised in a Christian home and homeschooled. You can get hard to the word of God. You can hear it. Say, preacher, we just had a revival meeting. That don't mean a thing. Some of you sat through the revival meeting and still didn't change. Do you stop your ears to the word of God? Have you lost your desire to come to Sunday school and be taught the word of God? You say, preacher, I'm tired. Okay, I got health issues. Brother Piet and I, Brother Eric and I, we talked about it. I got health issues. But I'm in Sunday school whether I'm preaching or not. So it's an hour early. Well, if your boss asked you to come an hour early, you do it with bells and whistles and you'd have no attitude about it. Amen. That's right, preacher. That's right. You know, we love the word of God, and we're going to take it. Hey, how many of you have become desensitized to the word of God in your church week after week? Oh, it's just old Brother Piet. It's Pastor Piet. Respect his authority. Well, I don't feel like that. Listen, when you stand before a judge, you call him, hey, Judgy Wudgy. And now, if you're curly Q, then maybe you do, amen? But you know what you call the judge? Your you know what the pastor's worth? Double honor. I didn't write that. Paul did. I'm not that old. 1 Timothy 5. See, what are you getting at, preacher? Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Some of you are just plain dull people. You've heard it and heard it and heard it. I already know where the PS going. He's already used that illustration before. He's already used that quote before. I've heard it. I know you've heard it. Did you know it's possible to hear God's word and love hearing God's word? You know, I call them Bible junkies. There are Christians that are always going to another meeting. Yeah, amen, that's good. Right? And you know what? Their marriages are falling apart. They're working on their next divorce, man. Their kids are hellions. They're running up and down the church aisles and under the seats and living like stinking animals and pigs in a farm. And, oh, yeah, all the preaching. Man, get your family in order, amen? Get your priorities straight. Family comes before the ministry. But you got people doing all that, and you can appreciate and approve of what's being preached, and yet you can grow incurably hard while listening. How many sermons have you heard on gossip in this church? You heard it before? Oh, yeah. And yes, some of you got a 10-foot tongue. I'm going to lay it on the altar. It ain't big enough. It ain't big enough. Amen. Some of you think I'm mad. No, I just sarcasm, amen. I'm not mad at you at all, amen. But how many sermons have you heard on fornication and yet the brethren are doing it? There are people that come to church that are members of the church that are living together, and the preacher knows it, and they say nothing about it. Yeah, come on. Well, we need to have grace. No, it's sin. Right. Adultery, sin. Smoking. People, members of a church, smoking. Do you realize years ago, the old-time Puritans up here in the Great Awakening, all that? If you gossip, they put you at church for 6 months. We become so intolerant. Oh, that's okay. You know, you're looking at internet pornography. You're a member. Okay, well, no. Wrong. It's sin. You say that, people don't like it, and they get all mad, and you have people drinking. I've been in people's homes where they got bottles of wine. Literally, Kahlua. You know what I mean? I think we're in Hawaii or something. You bring out a grass skirt. What's the deal? Hey, I mean, how many times have you heard sermons on Bible reading? You don't even read your Bible. You didn't even read your Bible this morning. When are you going to start reading your Bible every day? When are you going to start doing what God commands you to do? Do you do what the Word of God commands you to do? You know what you are? You're hearers of the Word, not doers. Right. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the Word. Here's a guy. My wife ain't what she should be. Well, I can tell you right now, it's your stinking attitude. You're not the husband you want to be. If you loved your wife like Christ loved the church, she'd change. Amen. I'm not going to say that that's hard to do. Amen. Say, well, my husband ain't what he ought to be. Well, I'll tell you right, fighting him right now ain't going to work. You submit yourself to your husband as unto what? The Lord. Say, what are you getting at? You hear sermons all the time about marriage and your marriage is in shambles. When are you going to start applying it? Do you remember when God's word was on your heart and mind throughout the day? Do you remember when you memorized the word of God out of love to the Lord? I know what you're thinking. Preacher, I'm getting old. Aren't we all? And my memory's not as good as it used to be. Yes, it is. I can prove to you it is. You ever go to Walmart? How many of you ever go to Walmart or Kohl's or Target? Ever go there? Ever hear a song you haven't heard in 20 years?
Yes, sir.
You know the words, don't you?
Right.
Why? Spiritual. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You can memorize the Word of God. My kids and I, we memorize verses every week. My wife and I, we memorize verses separate. When I was in Bible school, I memorized a verse a day for over 3 years, over 1,000 verses. You can memorize the Word of God if you love the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? Well, I love the Word of God. No, you love arguing about the Word of God, and you like fighting others with the Word of God. I'm asking you, do you hide the Word of God in your heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You believe that? I mean, could you write 170-some sentences about what the Word of God means to you like David did? He said it was under the inspiration. But also David was saying he loved the Word of God. Do you remember when God's word brought joy to your heart? Number four. Fourth thing I want to say is, you know, you have a heart of stone when you don't personally evangelize. When you don't personally evangelize like you used to. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. Preacher, you know how hard New England is? I can go to the Northwest. Tree huggers. You know, Portland, Oregon. Shoo. And they'll say the same thing. I can go to L.A., they say the same thing. And I preach out there. I mean, good churches out there. You know what I found out? You don't care about lost souls going to hell because your heart is hard. When I was up in Maine, we passed out a couple hundred tracts. I'm not being boastful. We went to a thing called a lobster festival up there in Rockland, Rockport area. So what are you getting at? Out of hundreds that my kids and I passed out, maybe I had three or four reject them. Not everybody's hard in New England. Not everybody does not want the truth. I think it's just whether or not you want to give them the truth. And I think that if you really pray for lost souls, God will give you lost souls. Because he says in Psalm 126, that day to go forth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. Remember that? Doubtless, 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 doubtless. That means that you're going to come back with some sheaves. You'll come back with some souls. I pray and I beg God, God, give me souls. I want to see souls saved. During the meeting, after the meeting, before the meeting, whatever it may be, I want to see souls saved. And God, honestly, by God's grace, every week, my wife and I and kids, we have someone to witness to and give the gospel plain and clear. Not every week they get saved. But God always gives us somebody, without fail, the chance to witness to. When you never pass out a tract, your heart is hard. You got tick tracts. Everybody got their own convictions. I like tick tracts. Some people don't like it because it says repentance. I believe in repentance. Sorry. That's the bottom line. Amen? I don't believe in easy believism. And we're getting away from repentance now. That's a big issue. Hey, stick with the old stuff. Amen? But you pass out tracts. You got good tracts. I've been to some churches where you go in there, it's the original John R. Rice tracts, you know? And you go in there, it's the wood shavings, it looks like. The tracts are all curled up like elf shoes. I already know right then and there, a church ain't soul winning. We no longer go street preaching because your heart is hard. We no longer go door knocking, it's because your heart is hard. Do you remember when you were burdened about lost souls? Do you remember when you used to invite people to church? You know what I'm finding out? Listen, the people ain't going to come from door knocking. 90% of the time, they will never come from door knocking. They will never come from street preaching. I'm going to tell you how they're going to come. By you at your workplace or your family being a witness or your neighbors, they're going to come through you. That's how a church grows. You can give 100 ways of soul winning and all that. It's going to come through you people getting a burden and bringing them. I mean, do you realize there are churches right now where no one has walked the aisles in years? There are churches I've been at where nobody's gotten the baptismal pool in 2 years at all. 2 years. Man, something ain't right. Do you remember when you used to bring, remember when you were newly saved, you were so excited and you couldn't shut your mouth. You were like the woman at the well or the leper that was cleansed. You're like, man, praise God, let me tell you, I met Jesus. And let me tell you what he's done to me. And let me tell you how he knew all about my sins and he washed them. And as far as the east from the west, you were so excited about your salvation. Then you come to church. Well, you know, they're all hard out there. They don't care. They don't want it. You did. Oh, so last days, you got saved in the last days. It's Laodicea. We're all in the last days. Are you burdened for lost souls like you used to be? Do you care if lost souls go to hell? Are you warning them to flee from the wrath to come? Are you telling them the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and was buried and rose again? When's the last time you led a soul to Jesus Christ? What are you doing to win souls for Christ? I'll tell you what people have done. They have stopped winning people to Christ and they start working on God's people. When you lose your vision as a church and a burden for souls, you will bite and devour one another. A church with no vision has division. Number five, and I'm done. Wow, almost 30 minutes, all right. Number five, when you're not eager to entreat God. You say entreat God, it means to plead with, to beg. When you're not eager to entreat God like you used to in prayer, when is the last time you want to really pray? When is the last time you want to really get a hold of God? Last night, there was a small remnant here of prayer warriors, right? I felt God's presence. I was thankful for the sister reading scripture and claiming the promises. I liked it last night because I felt like I was among, not Baptists, I felt like I was among Bible believers. You say, what do you mean? Because they were naming and claiming it, amen? And they were claiming the promises of God. And I was thinking, man, this is good stuff. That sister was quoting it, man. And Pastor Piet was reading the scriptures, man. It was good stuff. But there should have been more of you here last night. So I was busy last night. I bet you were watching TV. Say, preacher, pastor put you up to this? Yep, he printed it all out for me. Amen. If you were here this morning for Sunday school, you know I'm talking about evil surmising. Hey, what, I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have this many people? You say, preacher, I'm busy. We all are busy. You could at least come once a month, couldn't you? Some churches don't have, you know, soul winning at a certain time. But you know what? It's not just once a week. It's every day. You don't have to have a soul winning prayer. If you want to, have at it. But every day you're supposed to be winning people to Jesus. But you know, it's good to have a prayer meeting. I'll give you an example. There was a church in South Africa. They were charismatic. I used to preach with them. Now, let me give you the thing here before you think I'm a liberal and ecumenical and Billy Graham's son. Let me just tell you this. I told them I was a Baptist. They said, I want you to come and preach the Word of God. But did you know this church, a year and a half later, the pastor was NIV, let his wife preach, believe in tongues, charismatic, so forth like that. 14 years, Assembly of God. South Africa, this black man became a King James Bible believer, dispensational, knew what tongues was, and let no woman preach in the pulpit a year and a half later. So I just want to say that. Say, what are you getting at? Well, by the grace of God, this church, poor black church, every last Saturday night of the month, from 12 o'clock to 5 a.m. Sunday morning, prayed for the services. I'm telling you, brethren, all I know is this, and I'm not being rude. I'm not knocking you Baptist. I'm not going non-denominational. Just bear with me. When I went in that church, man, God was there. And here, let me bear with me for a minute. Just bear with me. I don't know about you. Do you ever read Jonathan Edwards? Sinners and Saints. You know, he was a Calvinist. George Whitfield, Calvinist. Spurgeon, mild Calvinist, whatever. Did you know those guys didn't know a lick of doctrine, really? But you know what they knew? They knew God. You know what I think? We as King James Bible believers, we pride ourselves, all of us pride ourselves in how much doctrine we know. But if that's the case, why don't we have the power of God like those men did, Pastor? Because they love God. I think what we have done is we have changed our relationship with God, and we don't even know, we know the Word of God, but we don't know the author of the Word of God. You with me? I read Dr. Gibbs' books before I met him. And I appreciate Dr. Gibbs' books, okay? He's the one that I counsel with about going to evangelism. But you know what? I never really appreciated Dr. Gibbs' books until I met him. I like Dr. Gibbs. And I start talking to him and fellowshipping with him. I appreciate his books better. You know what? When you start getting a little bit in your prayer closet and getting a hold of God, this will mean a whole lot more to you. Amen. And he'll mean a whole lot more to you. I'm done. I'm not going to go on. I have some more things to say. I'm done. I think the Holy Ghost wants me to stop. But I really feel, church, you know what? You know a lot of Bible. You got the right music, the right standards, the right doctrine and all that. But I think, to be honest with you, what I'm seeing in the churches across America, and I've been in over 200 churches, I don't claim to be an expert on this, but I can tell you what I see is a hardness of heart. You know what some of you are going to do? I'm going to tell you what some of you are going to do tonight. You ain't going to come to church. You know what you're going to do? You're going to stay home and watch TV. You know what? You don't care, so I'm going to say that for you. So when you're home, I hope God makes you miserable. Because you know as well as I do, how can you be right with God watching filth on there? I didn't say all TV is bad. Okay? But you know as well as I do, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, and the brother was praying last night quoting it, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know you ought to be in church this week. You know what some of you did? You purposely planned activities so you wouldn't have to come to prayer and come to prayer meeting and come to revival meeting. You've done that. You know why? You're hard-hearted. So here's the deal. That's what I want you to do. Instead of getting mad at the guy from Philadelphia that speaks real fast and all that, and you say, you know what, this guy, who's he think he is? I don't think I'm anything. I'm talking about him. He's everything. This is everything. All right? Now let me say this to you. Why don't you pray about what I said? Why don't you pray about it? Say, God, I have been hard-hearted about praying, about giving, about soul winning. I've had a bad attitude with my husband. Yes, sister. Mm-hmm. Bad attitude with my wife. Yes, brother. Yes, you have. And you know what's really weird? It's like a spirit comes over you when you're driving on the way to church. Amen. Yeah. Some of you did that this morning. Amen. You know what? You can go out to eat. No fighting. You can go out somewhere and hang out with somebody, no fighting, but the minute you get in that car to go to church that morning, kids are fighting, you're fighting. Amen, preacher. All right, I've gone from preaching to meddling. Let's pray. Lord, God, it's good to be saved. Thank you for everyone coming this morning, God. I know that this morning was a bit of plowing, but I'm not mad at these people. I don't hate these people, God. It's the truth. It's the word of God. And Lord, I didn't say with the wrong spirit or wrong heart, Lord. God, it's what you want me to preach. And to be honest with you, I have other messages that are encouraging, but it's the one you wanted. I prayed about it. And Lord, if I fell short, I'm sorry. I did the best I could. Lord, I prayed your people would take it to heart. And Lord, repent. Repent. Some of them don't pray like they used to. Some of them don't read like they used to. Some of them don't love your word like they used to. Some of them don't give like they used to. Some of them don't soul win like they used to, Lord. Some of them are just plain grump to be around, have no joy. Lord, God, you know who it is. And people don't respond. That's another thing I see in God. People just don't come to the altar anymore. Lord, you know, my whole attitude is you don't have to come every service, God. I know that. My concern is when someone never comes, something not right. Lord, as we continue in this invitation, God, whatever you want, whatever needs to be said, God, I just pray that you do something. Now, right now, no one looking around. Let me ask you a question real quickly. I don't drag on invitations to work on people, to manipulate them, to get them to do things. They don't feel like, listen, it's Holy Ghost led. Calm them. I'm going to ask you right now, maybe you're a teenager. You don't care about church. You know what? You need to get right with God. You say, maybe you're a wife. Maybe you haven't been pleasant to be around. Listen, brethren, I'm not being mean. The best time to get right with God is now. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. You know what I've learned through the years in the ministry? You can determine the attitude of the revival the first day. Say, what is that? If it's hard, it'll be hard most of the time throughout the rest of the week. But if people respond right away and say, God, don't let it be me. Don't let it be me. You know what hinders revival? The individual who refuses to submit to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave it open for just another 2 minutes and I'm done. I promise you. This morning, let me ask you two questions. Anybody here saved and born again? Can you honestly say that your heart's not hard? If it's not hard, praise the Lord. But anybody here this morning say, preacher, my heart's been hard and I haven't been evangelizing like I should. I haven't been praying like I should. I haven't really done with the right heart. You say, well, preacher, I've been evangelizing. I'm not saying you haven't been. I'm talking about the right heart. Some of you are not moved by the preaching anymore. Some of you are just so used to hearing Pastor Piet preach. That's why they have different guys in. I'm not saying something to you new and fantastic. It's really what your pastor probably said maybe a couple weeks ago. You know what? That's why they have different guys in, hoping that maybe God will get a hold of your hearts with somebody else. Because you become dull of hearing by hearing it from the same people. And last of all, I want to say this. Maybe you're lost here this morning. You've never been born again. Bible says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe this morning you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I'm not 100% sure I'm born again. But preacher, I'd like to get it settled. I don't want to be tormented. I want peace of mind and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be justified by his blood. I want to be saved from the wrath to come. Preacher, I want to be a child of God and know that I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody at all? Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I don't know what it means to be saved. I know that I'm going to hell and I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need to be born again. Anybody at all? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to drag it on. But anybody just raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Look, praying a prayer or being raised in a church and being raised in a Christian home does not guarantee salvation. Amen. You got to be born again by the Spirit of God. All right, let me ask you this, and I'm done. 30 more seconds. If some of you are mad this morning, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Brethren, there's been times where preachers got under my skin and irritated me and said things that made me mad. But you know what I had to realize? It was me. There's a song we sing, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, amen. The word of God does not change. God does not change. He's immutable. Listen, brethren, the best you can, just be honest with God. Say, God, my heart isn't what it should be. And you know what God will do? God will make this the best revival meeting ever. Not because of Brother Del Grande. The attitude of the meeting is determined by you people. If you want to make it the best meeting ever, it's because of how you respond. As your pastor comes, if God spoke to you, please come.